I tell him I call him all the time, almost every single day. I call him sometimes twice a day or whatever. And so he's going, you really call him that many times? All the time? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I miss him. He says, you don't mind if I tell you a joke, do you? I'm all like, no. Go ahead. And he says, well, you know what it's like when a man over 40 gets lucky? And I'm all like, no. What? And he's all, well, it's when the wife and kids go away for a week. I'm all like, leave a house a week, leave you all alone. Well, I'm certainly grateful for John giving me the opportunity to come up here and meet you all. Me and John have been in school for four some years, and doing a lot of classes together. And we've become quite close friends, and now he'll compliment me all the time about being a brainiac, but I'm really not a brainiac. But I am a person who loves to teach and to learn. And so my message today is really simple. It's basically a very simple idea, because John has talked about, you know, having a Bible study program, and he's talked to me about maybe leading that or something. And so I have said, sure, you know, let's put it together and let's see what happens. You know, let's try to, you know, formulate something together and see where we go. Because that's what I have done before in other churches, set up programs for adults and kids and things like that. I recently just teach adults Christian worldview classes and things like that. So, but my message today comes from Deuteronomy 6. I'm sure you're all familiar with this particular passage. It's Deuteronomy 6:4, and I'll read it very briefly. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These are the commandments that I give you today, are to be upon your heart, impressed on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk alone on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Now, the idea of loving God with all your heart, the Greek word is cardia. It's a direct translation from the Hebrew. It means the will, the soul, and the intellect, the emotions. The idea in Jewish history was that everybody studies God's word. Why? Well, Joshua 1:8 says, don't let these words leave your lips or your tongue or your mouth, because they bring prosperity. Paul talks about the same thing in 2 Corinthians 10. He talks about that we should be prepared to crush every argument that comes against the knowledge of God. And Peter talks about be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. In Ephesians 4, we are taught that we have apostles, we have evangelists, we have teachers, we have pastors. Why? To equip the saints. We are to be about learning the God, because Paul also says we are ambassadors because we have been reconciled and made new creatures. We are a new creation in Christ. So study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. Well, how do we do that? If you open a Bible and just read it, it may speak to you, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. But what about expression? What about expressing what you know? What about teaching? What does Jesus say? Make disciples of all nations, teaching the commandments that I've given. Teaching. The word teach. Every person is a minister. Equipping the saints means to be equipped for action. It's an action word for ministry. Everybody's a minister. Nobody gets out of it. So I always tell people, Christians don't retire. We don't retire. Now, you retire from work, but we don't retire from being Christians. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be disciples and disciple makers. The only way that happens is that we take teaching, the gift of teaching, spiritual gift. We have pastors and things with that gift. We have ordinary people with that gift. God gives everybody gifts all the time. And we fuse that with the discipline of study and learning. Why? To speak the gospel. To teach. God will bring a situation to every person in this church, and every church for that matter. You will be brought to the task of teaching. Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe 1,000 times. Doesn't matter. Somebody will ask you a question. A person will come to you in need of hope. You will be that person who will answer their question. You will be the person who gives them the gospel. Pastors are small and minute in the body. The catalyst of the gospels was not the evangelists, not the apostles, not the pastors, not the teachers. The catalyst of the gospel was the believers, the body itself. You are the messengers. It is your task to be a messenger. It is your task to be a disciplined learner, a disciple, and a disciple maker. A little while ago, we heard a message about persecution, and everybody thinks about persecution. The first thing that comes to mind is maybe China, Darfur in Africa, maybe the Middle East. Persecution normally comes to mind as being put in prison, perhaps beaten for your belief, killed, your churches burned down, your homes. But how does the devil work to suppress and persecute the church in a free society? Well, he doesn't need to put you in jail. He doesn't need to burn your church. He doesn't need to beat you up. He doesn't need to kill you. What he needs to do is to take this word and make it irrelevant. And we've been infested with that irrelevance for a long time. Our society has taken the mind of our kids, of our institutions, and said, Christianity doesn't matter. I have science. I have philosophy. Give me your children. Give me your kids. I will teach them. But is it our task to teach them? What did it say in the passage? Teach your children. Talk about the Word of God. Write it on your doorposts. Put it on your body. The emphasis is the only person that's going to change